Mary wrapped her baby in swaddling clothes, and the angels tell the shepherds, you will see a sign, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Church, the human being is the only animal who doesn't walk around naked. It's probably a good thing. Clothing protects us from the elements, extreme heat or intense cold. And it also allows us to present ourselves to others, formally or informally, in ceremonial gear or in uniforms. The human being is the only animal who doesn't walk around naked. The human being is the only animal who tells stories. Stories which, who identify us as we are. So we know who we are. We also can present ourselves to others with our story. Who I am, what I want to do, where I want to be, who I love and who loves me. It's all part of my story. The human being is the only animal who tells stories. I heard Pope Francis recently talk about how clothing and stories are related. Just look at the root word from Latin, texere, T-E-X-E-R-E, texere, from which we get text and textiles. We weave clothing and we weave stories. Both protect us and help to present us to others. As I said earlier, we gather here today on Christmas to remember our story, how we come from God and we will return to Almighty God, and how we are loved by God. And God wants us to see ourselves as He sees us, made in the image and likeness of God, divine, rational creatures with divine inspiration. This is who we are before God. We need to know our story. Today, I would like to give a shout out, a thanks to all you parents and grandparents and teachers who present the story, who teach the story to the young faithful. They need to know that story. If not from you, then who? I say this because, as some of you know, I teach theology at Fordham University. I teach undergraduates. I teach a freshman course, Introduction to Theology. We sometimes call it Dick and Jane Meet God. It's your basic course. And I'm hearing from more students how dismayed they are, how disappointed they are, that they haven't been brought up in any faith, that their parents are not against religion, they're not atheist, but there's just no need for faith there. And these students are saying, why didn't I have this before? They're intrigued by it now. Take Jack, for instance, freshman. He's also in the Reserve Officer Training Corps. He's preparing to be an Army officer. He looks the officer type, tall, lean, chiseled jaw, short cropped hair. He's the first one in class every day, soft spoken. But when he speaks, people listen. And he wrote me a note at the end of the semester. I'm sorry that my family never taught us any of this growing up. I feel I missed out on something here. Right? His family's probably part of the nuns. You know who the nuns are, right? N-O-N-E-S, not the religious sisters. N-O-N-E-S, right? It's a growing group in America. You know where they get the name from? It's from the census, where there's a question there, it's optional. To what religion do you belong? You know, Roman Catholic, various denominations of Protestant, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, or none of the above. More people, it seems, in America are checking off none of the above, hence the nuns. Around 29% of Americans consider themselves nuns today. In fact, if that was a religious group, it might be the largest religious group in America, the nuns. And yet, I hear many young people saying, why didn't I have this faith? Or take Deidre, for instance. We were talking about the sacrament of baptism. I should have mentioned this, especially with Jack, the sacrament of baptism. He's studying to be a military officer. I explained to the class that baptism originates with a military ritual. The word sacramentum was a military ritual. Way back when, in the days of Jesus, when a young man was going to become a soldier in the Roman army, he would undergo this sacramentum, a military oath. He would pledge his loyalty to the Roman gods, and his fidelity to his commanding officer. And then he would be branded like a steer or a horse is branded, with the seal of Rome, the SPQR, and the insignia of his regiment. This showed that he was a soldier in good standing in the Roman army, entitled to all rights and privileges of a soldier. Around the second century, when some Roman pagans are wondering about what you Christians do down in the river, when you dunk people in the water and you bless them and you celebrate them, it fell to Tertullian, a teacher of the church, to explain, well, our ritual here is something like you Romans do with the military oath. We pledge our loyalty to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and commit fidelity to the community of the church. In turn, the church promises fidelity to us. We too are branded. St. Augustine called it an invisible but indelible brand. You can't see it, but it's permanent. It marks us as children of God and members of this community. Baptism tells us who we are and whose we are. It's the beginning of our story. So I'm explaining this in class one time, and then we said that baptism culminates, you could say, at the crucifixion. When Jesus dies on the cross, he takes the sins of all humanity upon himself. And when he dies, these sins are washed away in his blood. No more sin. This is God's mercy here, forgiveness. And so there's Deirdre. She's not soft-spoken. She's a bit outspoken and smart, and she says, "Why didn't I know this?" What do you say? I just said, that's why you're here. Why didn't I know this? About God's mercy and great forgiveness. And then she asked, how does this square with cancel culture? It seems that cancel culture has no room for forgiveness. You are branded that as a sinner, and that's all. Cancel culture, I worry about that. Where is there room for forgiveness in such a culture? Did you happen to see the letter that Cardinal Dolan of New York wrote? It was printed in the press. He was dedicating a new church just north of New York City. The patron is St. Peter the Apostle. So the dedication went well, and afterwards he received an irate letter from a Catholic woman from another parish who challenged him. How could you dedicate a church to Peter the Apostle when he was such a great sinner? He betrayed our Lord. And Cardinal Dolan asked, didn't she read the rest of the story? How after the resurrection, Jesus took Peter aside, they went for a walk, and he asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep. Three times. Jesus never brought up, what about that betrayal back then? No, instead, he asked three times, do you love me? That undid the threefold betrayal on Thursday night. Jesus forgave him. Shouldn't we? Cardinal Dolan ends with a note of irony. He looked up that woman's name, found out what parish she belonged to. It was St. Mary Magdalene. Ironic, don't you think? But young Deirdre there was just fascinated with this notion of mercy and forgiveness. God forgives us. Shouldn't we? There's a third one. He's not a student in my class, but Bruce Springsteen inspired me. Last summer, I got to see his show, Springsteen on Broadway. If you're a Bruce fan, it's a great show. And it's his story in spoken word and song. And towards the end of the show, he talks about his Catholic upbringing. You know, in Freehold, New Jersey, St. Rose of Lima Parish. He grew up there. And he makes some jokes about growing up Catholic, as we all do. But he says, you know, you never leave the Catholic Church. And then he talked about, you can hear his Catholic imagination in his lyrics. If the song, The River, isn't about baptism, if the song, The Rising, isn't about the resurrection, I don't know what is. Right? His Catholic imagination is there. So he talks about growing up in Freehold, and there was this great big tree in the yard. It was a copper beech tree there with thick branches and broad copper-colored leaves. And he and his friends used to climb the branches, and sometimes his family would have a picnic in the shade below there. Right? So he comes back to visit after he's made it famous, and the tree had to be taken down. It died. And now there was just this dirt mound. And he's saying how he stands at that dirt mound, and he remembers all the people who gathered there, his mother and his father, who have since died, his friend Danny from high school, who was drafted and sent off to Vietnam and never returned. And of course, his great friend, Clarence Clemens, the great saxophonist, the big man, always at his right hand. He remembers him being there too, died too soon. And Bruce says, we're never completely separated. We're never completely separated. Something holds us together here. And when I come back to this dirt, I remember all those people who I love and love me. And then he recites the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is his story. This is why we come here, church, to remember our story, where we come from, where we are going, and who accompanies us along the way. So I thank you for those who tell that story, who make sure others are hearing it, so they won't be saying, lamenting, why haven't I heard this? Let them hear it. Let them know that they are part of God's story. Church, would you say amen?